10/22/18. That is the date. And goodness sakes, Halloween is only 9 days away. And I tell you, with this current political situation and the person with the sort of orangey hair and his very lovely wife in the White House, seems like every day is Halloween. So maybe we'll discuss that a little bit. You know, what's life if you can't have fun, can't poke fun at yourself and poke fun at those who are receiving salary? Actually, I guess the person in question isn't getting a salary, but that's okay. I'm still, in some way, is reaping the benefits of sitting in the White House. And we talk about the Donald and his lovely wife, Melania, whom he sometimes calls Melanie, but, you know, whatever her name is, that beautiful, tall, 48-year-old lady who is married to the president. We discuss her. Donald Trump Jr., not quite always a good light when we talk about Donald Trump Jr. or his son-in-law, Jared Kushner. We also speak about other folks. And what show am I getting to? Well, has to be, you can hear the giggling in the background, a finer mid-morning coffee break with Adam and Professor Ronald L. Feynman. Apparently, the intern has done a good job patching in the cables because I do hear his giggling in the background. Ron, how are you this fine morning?
I'm doing fine, Adam. Thank you very much for inviting me for the umpteenth time.
Well, good. Well, glad to hear that. Would you kind of agree that almost every day is Halloween, at least in the White House? Maybe they should just have a permanent large pumpkin and Halloween display at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, because it kind of seems like, I mean, people have said the United States has turned into one big Jerry Springer show. We have a reality show host as president. I mean, so it makes sense. I'm not necessarily saying this in a bad way. It's just kind of how it is. But Halloween is kind of a ongoing theme in American politics. Would that be kind of logical, or do you think maybe another holiday would suit the bill better?
I have not thought about a holiday, but I must say, having a president who's done 5,000 lies, about 8.5 a day, and who justifies or seems to cover up for what Mohammed bin Salman allowed to happen to Mr. Khashoggi, I think is a total outrage. It really is. It's really upsetting. And it's clear that we're not going to do anything about what Saudi Arabia has done and what they continue to do to other citizens as well.
Well, before we get to that, the theme for today's show is Indian. And you know how I love words and words with different meanings. We basically have 2.5 people with a nationality of Indian to talk about. Well, the first one, we're not quite sure exactly how much American Indian or Native American she has. 1/128, 1/256, 1/2. Don't know. But apparently, as part of that Pocahontas thing, Elizabeth Warren got her DNA tested, and it was determined that she has a small amount of a Native American or American Indian as part of her ancestry. And looks like Donald Trump, whom we do speak about on the show regularly, has welched on his bet and isn't going to pay $1 million because she does have part American Indian. Now, is this just the whole thing kind of ridiculous, Ron? I mean, it's like who cares? Or is it maybe there's a good point that Donald Trump just isn't good for his promises? Or you kind of like me, just sit here and laugh at the whole thing?
He's not good for his promises, but honestly, I think that Elizabeth Warren made a blunder by even having herself checked out. I mean, it really doesn't matter. That's not a factor in judging whether she should be president. And I think she basically allowed him to exploit her. And I think that's a mistake that might harm her in the presidential race.
Right. So, I mean, it's certainly interesting, but maybe just a diversion from the more serious topics like the Middle Eastern issue that you spoke about earlier. And, you know, we can giggle about it a little bit, but I really think there are bigger fish to fry. So let's get to the other type of Indian. That is a person from the great country of India. And we have basically 1.5 people to talk about here. Females, both of whom have very nice hair, but not are they just good to look at. They're also very intelligent and well-spoken. Bottom line is both of these ladies, both basically moderate, one more to the right, one more to the left, they both have aspirations of taking a seat at the Oval Office. And I think Ron and I would agree we would have no problem with either of these women in office. I would favor Nikki Haley, and he would favor Kamala Harris, although I would have no issue with either of them. Kind of interesting, Kamala Harris, she is multi kind of multicultural, part Jamaican, part Asian Indian, and Nikki Haley, Asian Indian, born to, from Sikh Indian parents, who are both well educated, married an American gentleman, and they're living happily ever after. Of course, she recently resigned her position in Donald Trump's cabinet, and we discussed in the previous show, and I've talked with Scott exactly why she did that. But I think, especially after looking at an article from a couple days ago, the reason, like it wasn't obvious before, is that she wants to be president. She might say she will support Donald Trump in 2020. I don't believe her, but that's okay. That's not a lie. It's just politics. It's like Hillary said she wasn't going to run for president in 2016. And if you believe that, then you probably could buy some swamp land in Arizona, because that was ridiculous also. And we saw what happened. I mean, she did almost win, but
yes,
that's kind of how the cookie crumbles, as my daddy always said. So, Ron, when you saw that article with Nikki Haley talking about how she does have aspirations of becoming the first female president of the great United States of America, were you like me, just kind of not surprised, kind of said, duh? Or did it kind of surprise you a little bit, especially maybe the tone of the article?
Well, I think what surprised me is the author of this article was an African-American journalist who said he really doesn't care for a lot of her views, but he's just writing and saying that he sees her running and that he thinks that she would be the most effective Republican candidate, but he's not necessarily saying he would endorse her or back her. So I thought that was an interesting twist, that somebody who really is not a supporter was bringing out about how she has assets that he thinks would really help the Republicans and would make the best race for them in 2020.
And we have the other person. Again, she is half Asian Indian. That's not by DNA tests. That's just by her heritage. But maybe all of these females should take DNA tests and determine once and for all exactly what their ancestry is. But that, of course, would be the also very lovely Kamala Harris. And again,
yeah, I want to mention, by the way, I always thought it was Kamala, but it's actually Kamala, like Pamela. Somebody pointed out it's P instead of K. Pamela is a different spelling, E, while Kamala is A, you know, the fourth letter. But apparently it's Kamala Harris, not Kamala Harris.
Yeah, it's interesting because K-A-M-A-L is it does have different pronunciations. That's a fairly common name, more Middle Eastern, but I have seen Indian men with that name. So with the A, of course, that might indicate female. So often there are different pronunciations, but Kamala Harris, it is. But however you pronounce it, like Nikki Haley, she is very easy on the eyes, but not just a question of what's on her head, what's inside her head, that is her brain, is also outstanding.
And, yes. Well, she has been California Attorney General, and before that she was District Attorney of San Francisco, and now she's been a senator since Barbara Boxer left her seat, and she won her seat in 2016. And I think she's in the top tier because in these early polls, and I know polls are not accurate, she's one of the five that's mentioned in just about every poll, along with Sanders, Biden, Warren, and also Cory Booker. So she's always in one of the top five, at least in polls. Of course, there are other people, you know, that are around, but those are the ones that are getting the biggest hype right now.
Now, as someone who's mixed Asian Indian and Jamaican ancestry, is that an asset or maybe a not? Or do people really care? Or kind of like you and I, we really don't care. We think it's cool that we have someone who is two minorities and also female, is a moderate Democrat.
Yes, I think it's a plus.
Right.
It's a plus in 2020 with the 19th
Amendment.
Right.
I mean, we both like Warren, but she is a bit of a loudmouth. Sometimes her mouth gets her in trouble, and that isn't necessarily bad. I admire a woman who isn't afraid to be strong-willed, and she is very smart. And for the most part, we agree with her. You know, neither of us are overly enamored with Sanders. I mean, I would say he's one of my least favorite people. He's way to the left, plus he's too old, and he looks like he's 112
years
old.
Warren is also seen as almost to the left, like Sanders. And there's even some discussion now, are two of them going to get together, that are going to outdo each other, that maybe one shouldn't run? And I don't think Sanders is going to decide not to run, but I think Warren is going to run, and they're going to compete against each other, and they may not be buddy-buddies as much, because I think they are very close to being the same, except Warren is a lot younger, and it's a female, but she's seen as pretty far to the left, too.
But we would imagine that if a female is a presidential nominee, that the vice president would likely be a male. I would have no problem with two females, but I think that being that is very, very unlikely that it would be a male who would be vice president if we do have a female nominee.
Well, I'd be happy with Kamala Harris and Amy Klobuchar running again against each, you know, running together. But I guess it would have to be Kamala, not Amy. But I still prefer Amy Klobuchar personally if I had a choice among the women.
Right. Many good candidates. Personally, if Republican...
She's from the Midwest.
If the Republican ticket were Haley and our governor here, John Kasich, as vice president, I would vote for them in an instant. Again, I don't agree with all of them on their policies, but Kasich is an experienced politician. He's decent spoken. He isn't great, overly well-spoken, but he's good enough. He has been in charge of economic policy. He's been a talk show commentator, and he's moderated a bit. He was much more to the right 20, 30 years ago.
Vice president. I don't think he would want to be. I think he'd only want to run for president. I think the issue is to get someone who wants to be president willing to run for vice president. That's the issue.
Yeah. So there's multiple possibilities, and we've talked about there are literally dozens of candidates on both sides who have aspirations for the White House. And as we've seen in the last two elections, both cases, it was a case of you never quite know who might be successful, because I think both Obama and Trump entered the beginning stages of their campaign as underdogs. And Trump we can talk good or bad about him, but he's had no elected political experience or military experience. Eisenhower was just in the military, but he was a general and he was very well known. Trump was kind of a TV show host, and even his supporters say, well, we don't agree with everything. We don't necessarily like his background, and he is a bit of a buffoon, but they do like that he's getting things done. And obviously, neither Dr. Feynman nor I are big fans of his, but I will acknowledge I think the economy is doing very well right now. And many of the principles that he holds with respect to immigration, I agree with. It's the way that it's being carried out. I don't like the idea of the kids sitting in cages as more than anybody else does. But I like the idea that he is trying to keep the border secure. Is how he's doing it may be up for debate. And that probably is due to his lack of any political experience and somewhat frequent cluelessness with respect to foreign policy. And the departure of Nikki Haley as part of his foreign policy team probably isn't going to help that. So again, bottom line is Dr. Feynman and I will have a lot of things to talk about in future shows, and we may or may not agree, but at least we come across as we end the show as shaking hands, understanding that two intelligent people are never going to agree, and that's part of the fun. If everybody agreed, the world would be awfully boring, and we wouldn't want to have
that. Yes, I wanted to interject here about Joe Biden. He's leading in polls right now as far as the Democratic nomination, but many people say he's too old and he's not somebody of the new generation. But I've thought about it, and I've said, if you could get Joe Biden with a combination of different people for vice president, any one of the following I'm going to mention, I think he really could win. I think if Joe Biden, even if he's old, ran with Joe Kennedy III, that would really be a plus. Or if he ran with Kamala Harris, it would be a real plus, a mixed race woman from California. Or if he ran with Amy Klobuchar, a Midwest woman nominee, because you need the Midwest. Or if he ran with Julian Castro, the former HUD secretary, and also Mayor of San Antonio, who's, of course, Latino from Texas. I think those four, any of those four, with Joe Biden, with the understanding that they would succeed him after maybe one term, or at least be the heir apparent if anything happened to him, I think any of those could be very winning tickets.
One thing that I like to talk about, and we talk about this a lot, is it is an interest of mine, and you know, Dr. Feynman is our official presidentologist, has an interest and knowledge. Joe Biden, Ron, is old enough to be Joe Kennedy III's grandpa. There's about 40 years.
Well,
40 years difference.
There would be 38 years apart, yes. Okay. But actually, a lot of presidents and vice presidents have been pretty far apart in years. For instance, Dan Quayle was born in 1946 and George H.W. Bush in 1924. That's 22 years difference. So it's not 38, but I'm saying it's often happened. There's a big age difference.
Yeah, that's nothing. I mean, literally, that he's old enough to be his grandma. I have a friend. She was a grandma when she was 34, and then she's 36 now.
Well, not too many people.
She has a 2-year-old grandson. So, as far as I'm concerned, if you're mid 30s or higher, you are old enough to be a grandparent. Even though the most common age for becoming a grandparent is probably closer to 50. But bottom line is there is a huge difference in age, and you know, I joked about this a few months ago, but I still think it applies. We would call that ticket red, white, and blue. due to hair color, and of course, blue for Democrats.
Joe Kennedy with the name and Joe, that would, I think that'd be a very hard ticket to beat, really, if it was to
Joe squared red, white, and blue. I've already made their campaign slogan. You know, me being the wordsmith. But as I see, you know, Joe Kennedy has many things going for him, but he is awfully liberal. I don't like his opinions on immigration whatsoever. He is, as I see it, an open border guy, and that is not cool. It is dangerous, it's expensive, and I don't like it. And if that offends anybody, I'm sorry. Other than that, there are many things going for him. He is smart. He went to Harvard Law School, I believe. I don't have my notes with me, but I think I checked last time. And we've talked about how there's no royal family here in the United States, but if there was a pseudo-royal family, on the left it would be the Kennedys, to the right it would be the Bushes, and you know, maybe the Clintons. I mean, Hillary, again, she's run unsuccessfully for president, but she has had cabinet positions. Talked about how we admire Chelsea. She has her equivalent of a PhD degree. So the Clintons are almost like a royal family, but obviously the Bushes and Kennedys, I think everybody would agree, they are as close as we have to a royal family. And that's not necessarily good, but there are many things going for the Kennedys. Joe has politics in his blood. He's a young whippersnapper. And it would certainly be an interesting ticket, having him and Biden together, both from...
A lot of chapstick, right? Just his chapstick.
And whenever I put my chapstick on, I always giggle a little bit, and I'm always careful to apply it properly, lest I go on national TV with a big chapstick smear on my chin. But now, Biden's from Delaware, one of our least populous states, a state that a lot of people have never even heard of, for goodness sakes. I mean, me being interested in U.S. geography, of course, I could tell you all about Delaware. It has three counties. One of the cities looks like it's pronounced Newark, and this is Newark, Ohio, pretty close to Marion, but it's actually pronounced Newark. The biggest city is Wilmington, essentially a suburb of Philadelphia, and the capital is Dover. So, I mean,
And Delaware is the first state to ratify the Constitution in 1787. Nice piece of information.
Rhode Island is the state with the least area, but it has five counties. Delaware has three counties. And Massachusetts is known as a rather left-wing state, if I'm not mistaken, in the Nixon election, where he successfully beat Dr. McGovern, right? Because McGovern was a PhD also. Anyway,
yes,
McGovern won Massachusetts. Massachusetts and also very left wing Washington D.C. So, with the Kennedys and just the general, I think we've talked about this also, Ron, is that a lot of areas that have colleges, especially liberal arts colleges, tend to the left. And of course, Massachusetts has Harvard and other colleges. So Harvard and Ratliff certainly would tend to the left. And they have, even if you don't go to Harvard, they certainly have an influence. And bottom line is, Massachusetts is a state that pretty much a Democrat is guaranteed to win. And again, Boston
was always that way, though, historically.
Right.
But it is now. There's loads of universities in the Boston area besides Harvard. It's probably the best city in the country for total universities that are outstanding.
Right, and it's a bit of an irony because it's had Republican governors, for example, someone who almost won presidency, Mitt Romney,
and now Charlie Baker.
Right, and the current governor, and now Mitt Romney is not certainly a far right Republican like another governor, Mike Pence, is from neighboring Indiana, but he is a Republican nonetheless. But those ironies do occur. Cincinnati, as I've brought up before, known for being so conservative, and very interesting because, you know, former governor was Jerry Springer. Yes, he's a talk show host and a TV show host like Trump was, but he was and still is very to the left. And also Roxanne Qualls, a former mayor of Cincinnati, and even more to the left than Jerry Springer was. So just because an area, be it a state or a city, is thought of being a certain way, doesn't mean that that a person who is running that city or state is. But we look at the election as a whole, and bottom line is, you know, after this 5-minute spiel of mine, it's a pretty good chance that if you're a Democrat running for president, you will win Massachusetts. Bottom line is
not always historically, but now yes.
It's good to have diversity in the vice president and president. That's part of the game. Just like, do you want to have two females? I think we should have a male and a female. But I have no problem voting for either two men or two women based on the qualifications. But the coolness factor of having a female, having someone who is multicultural, like Harris, I do put that as part of the equation, because the president has to have an image, and image and coolness kind of go together. And I think you would agree, Ron, that Trump being from New York and Pence being from Indiana, I mean, Indiana is a fairly Republican state, but it does border Ohio and Illinois, which are, you know, can kind of go both ways. And Michigan, Kentucky is fairly Republican, but Michigan also is a kind of a swing state. I think we would agree that that Trump being from New York, picking up a running mate from Indiana, did help his cause. And we look at Delaware being not just a small state and area, but not a lot of people live there. It's essentially just a suburb of Philadelphia. And Massachusetts, which again has one huge city and a couple medium sized cities, but essentially Massachusetts and Boston kind of go hand in hand. Would that be detrimental, or should we have a little more diversity in terms of the president and vice president, just to try to help them win? Biden being from Delaware, you know, a very small state, is he better off picking somebody who's from California or Chicago or Texas, or does that not really matter anymore?
Well, that's why I think it does help. I think California with Harris or Castro, Julian Castro from Texas, or Amy Klobuchar from Minnesota, and all of them, of course, in more than just being a congressman, because after all, two of them are senators. In the case of Castro, he's of course been a cabinet member. So I to actually pick a House member to be your running mate. Now, it's true Romney did with Paul Ryan, but Paul Ryan was a much more well-known, other than his name, congressman than Joe Kennedy. I think the only reason Joe Kennedy is so well-noticed is because he's a Kennedy. I mean, he's good, but I think a lot of it is his name. But I think Paul Ryan is still a rare person to pick a person from the House for the ticket. But anything is possible the way this country works now. You never know what's going to happen. Probably the nominee will be someone we're not talking about.
Right, I would tend to think that Biden as president and Harris from California, you're talking about both coasts, that would that definitely sounds like a formula for success. And I could
Yes, but I also think Castro or Klobuchar would also be Midwest in the case of Klobuchar, and Texas and Latino for Castro, except for those who might think it's Fidel Castro's family. That's the only problem with the name Castro.
Castro is a very common name. And I think people would realize, don't necessarily assume that, just like we talked about Dr. Ford testifying against Kavanaugh. That's a common name also, no relation to Gerald Ford, and that's not even his real name anyway. His real name was Leslie King, or Henry Ford, or other people that are named Ford. Castro, Texas, we've talked about, Ron, has traditionally been Republican. Of course, both Bushes being from Texas, that certainly helped. But it hasn't necessarily always been Republican, and we think it may be going the other direction. And Texas, besides being the largest contiguous state in area, as a lot of people, and it's a growing state. It's a huge state. It's diverse. In some cities, Austin is more to the left of, let's say, Houston. So there are many reasons why Mr. Castro might be a good choice. Plus, we talked about he is an identical twin, so in case he gets tired, his identical twin could always fill in for him. And
we wouldn't
even know the difference.
As I pointed out, he's an identical twin, but Joe Kennedy III also has a brother who's a paternal twin, not involved in politics directly, but he is a twin. So if he had a Kennedy-Castro ticket, you'd have two people who are twins, is the point I'm making, which would be unusual. We've never had that situation.
Yeah, that would be interesting. And, you know, it gets to these other arcane things that I brought up. We've never had a president named Smith, or I believe any... I think we had a vice president named Smith run a while back. The closest we've had to a Smith.
Well, we had a presidential candidate, Alfred E. Smith, run in 1928 against Hoover.
See, I remember that.
He was a presidential candidate. Yeah.
See, I remember that from our official presidentologist. All these arcane facts about presidents, which is really cool. But as I've mentioned before, the closest we've had was Rosalind Smith Carter, Mrs. Carter. Yes. Her maiden name was Smith. And conversely, the second most common name in the United States, Johnson, we've had two President Johnsons, and we've had a Gary Johnson recently have aspirations to be president. So that is kind of interesting also. And we don't count people like Bush or Adams. I mean, I kind of like the name Adams, obviously, but the Bushes.
Let me add about Johnson that in 1920, Senator Hiram Johnson of California was offered the vice presidency by Warren G. Harding, but he said, I don't want to be number two equipment. He turned it down, and Calvin Coolidge accepted it and ended up as president when Harding died right. in 1923. So we could have had a third president named Hiram Johnson if he had not said no to the vice presidency in 1920.
Well, that's very interesting. And I was going to say, the Fords and Adamses, they don't really count because they were closely related. The Roosevelts were like sixth cousins, four times removed or something. They had the same last name, but they weren't very closely related. And I think, as we've talked about before, Eleanor Roosevelt and Franklin Roosevelt were like third cousins. So they were more closely related, but not so closely that they couldn't get married. So,
Eleanor was the niece of Teddy Roosevelt.
And also, an interesting fact is that Teddy Roosevelt was certainly to the right of Franklin, but he is one of the old-fashioned Democrats that we've talked about, more of a Lincoln-type Republican, more of like a Lincoln-type Republican, not like the Republicans of today, certainly Mike Pence.
Well, he always said, I'm proud to be a progressive, and he started the Progressive Party.
So Teddy Roosevelt and Mike Pence, I can assure you, have really very little in common. Even though they're both they both have or had an R next to their name, so we've seen the party evolve, and maybe we'll see what happens. Certainly,
more
Trump
to the right, to the right, the Republican Party,
Trump being very divisive, just makes things more fun, gives us more stuff to talk about. But I think
May I add in about Native Americans? You were talking about Indians earlier from India, and also about Elizabeth Warren. I'm not sure many people realize that Calvin Coolidge had Native American blood, President Coolidge, and that the vice president under Herbert Hoover, Charles Curtis, was a full-blooded Native American. From 1929 to 1933, he was vice president. If Hoover had died in office, we would have had a Native American president, Charles Curtis, former senator from Kansas. So he was fully Native American, and Calvin Coolidge had some Native American blood. So I think it's just interesting trivia.
But there's been rumors there's been several presidents that have had a small amount of African in them, and it's 1 or 2%.
Warren G. Harding is one of them.
Yeah.
Warren G. Harding is believed to have been one of them. Yes.
If it's like 1 or 2%, you really aren't going to know, and it does affect people differently. For example, the very lovely lady Meghan, who married Prince Harry, who is now expecting. She doesn't look multiracial or biracial to me. You can't always tell. No, again, women, they wear makeup, and I mean, Mariah Carey, for example, she's biracial. It's kind of hard to tell.
I agree.
In addition, there are people who are white or only have a small amount of African in them that look a little more African than they actually are. It really does manifest itself in many different ways. So, but bottom line is, you can't tell by looking at Elizabeth Warren if she is 128th, 164th American Indian, and you can't tell if somebody is 1 or 2% African by looking at him or her. So,
and honestly, it's not important. It's silly stuff. It doesn't matter, really.
No, but right now,
is what I'm saying,
and between the Maury Show and the DNA tests and the 23andMe ads, and just people wanting to know about their ancestry, myself included, I've taken up genealogy a bit and found out about my relatives. It is interesting to find out what your ancestry is. Bottom line is, we're all Homo sapiens. We're all supposed to be on the same team. And Donald Trump welching on his bet to Elizabeth Warren, we can giggle about it, but is it really a big deal? I think we have much bigger fish to fry. But it is interesting to find out what your heritage is. And I don't see any reason why it just can't be out in the open. We are seemingly so uptight that we might upset somebody and not be politically correct by talking about it. I don't see what the problem is. It's interesting to find out about yourself. I don't honestly know all that much about my ancestry, and I probably should take a test. I said I'm Eastern European, mostly did Austria-Hungary on my mom's side in Hungary, and Bielorussia.
My background is Ukrainian and Russian.
Yeah, the part of Russia that it doesn't exist anymore, that bordered Poland on my dad's side. But I get the feeling, Ron, that if I were to take a look at my ancestry, I think I'd be surprised about a few things. So,
Most people are, yes.
Bottom line is it doesn't hurt to do that. And I think it's good to find out more about yourself. It's also a way to screen for disease, because there are certain groups of people that are prone to certain diseases or certain genetic defects, and nothing wrong with that either. I don't see an issue with it. I think it's just interesting to find out about yourself and about your heritage. And
well, one thing I must say, if you can find people who are Nazis or Ku Klux Klansmen, and they took a test and discovered that they have African-American or Native American or Asian American or Asian blood, that would be a mind blower, because that would make them want to probably kill themselves, because they'd discover, oh, my God, I'm not what I thought I was.
Yeah, I think a lot of people wouldn't want to know. And it's an individual decision, but it's something that I think has flourished as something people want to do. And does the Elizabeth Warren issue make a mockery of it? I don't think so. But we know Warren, she's outspoken, and I'm not sure it's going to affect her career. I think we can tell jokes about it. I think it'll be fodder for late night TV. And it's just people just shooting the breeze about it. But in the end, we take a look at the candidate, and, you know, Warren, she's a bit of a loudmouth, but we do like her. She's smart. She has a dedication to public service, and she will be around for quite some time. Exactly in what capacity, I guess we shall find out.
Well, what I'll say is, you don't want everybody being president, but I have no problem with any of these people, including Sanders, being a senator. I think it's fine, but whether they should be president is something else.
No, as you know, I find Sanders' political beliefs as a socialist to be incompatible with this country. It does work in some areas, like Scandinavia, for example. I don't believe that it works here. And I also think...
But as a senator, you don't have a problem with him being there,
he's
right?
He's in Vermont. I mean, again, I used to live just west of there. No one cares about Vermont. It's a beautiful state, but I can assure you it ain't California or Texas. I'm not saying it doesn't count as don't worry about it. Like, it's not a... It is a state.
It's a voice.
And it's an important border state for Canada. But Texas and California and Ohio have much more of an influence. As someone who lived near Vermont, I think I have a right to talk about it. And I'm not being critical of Vermont, but it is not California or Texas. And Sanders,
I just want to remind you, though, that historically Vermont was always Republican. Now it's just the opposite. It's really funny. It used to be automatically Republican for many decades.
Right. And Texas, et cetera, states
used to be Democratic.
Yeah, they do change, and that's all part of politics. Just when you think you figured stuff out, you get thrown a curve and stuff changes, and that's all part of the fun. And that's why we have this discussion all the time.
And I think Beto O'Rourke, even if he doesn't win the Senate race against Ted Cruz, has really moved the Democrats toward a future of making of Texas being a blue state. And it's interesting, in one poll about presidential candidates, Beto O'Rourke is one of the top six, even if he loses the Senate race. He's really caused quite a sensation across the country. So many people love him as a personality, even if he doesn't defeat Ted Cruz. He's become a real national figure.
That's kind of the same thing with Sanders. The young people that just think, we'll just make $15 an hour flipping burgers. As you can tell, the sarcasm in my voice, and it is on purpose. Suddenly, they're just following him, and there's people of all ages who like him. And honestly, I'd heard of him, but didn't know much about him until the election. And I think we do have a case. And let me know if you agree with me, Ron. Almost like there's four parties. There is a traditional Democratic Party. Yourself being certainly an example of that, along with Biden. There is the Socialist Democratic Party, and a growing number, with Sanders obviously being the person unofficially the captain of that party. We have
Ocasio-Cortez.
Yeah.
Also Ocasio-Cortez of the Bronx, the woman who's going to be the House member from that area, yeah.
We have the more moderate Republicans, and again, I almost say that I'm probably in that category, people who either are to the left on social issues, as I am, or kind of in the middle, or kind of like do your own thing, conservative economically, but understand that we do have to have a human side of it. And we have the...
Like Kasich and Sass.
Right.
Like Kasich and Sass.
And we have the Republicans who, let's say, are kind of out there, and that would be the two people that are president and vice president.
And Jim Jordan would join that group.
I would probably put him in that category, too. And I put Haley, too, as more that traditional, more moderate Republican. But me, you know, I am an independent. I am certainly eclectic, so it's hard to say. But I always like people that are conservative economically and practical. And again, I understand that it's a capitalist country. You earn a living, unless there's a very good reason why you shouldn't. And people that are progressive, and I would say I'm very far to the left on some of the social issues. So always enjoy people that have those characteristics. And it's just what makes the world go round. No one will ever find the perfect candidate. So you find someone who you believe is consistent with your beliefs, what you've grown up to like and enjoy and feel is the right thing to do. But also the image is important too. And I said the coolness factor. I will give a slight nod to a female or someone of an interesting cultural background running for office, as I think that will add to the charisma. And as we've talked about, I think that the political landscape and distribution of this country should reflect the population. It just doesn't seem right that we've had 45 presidents, all have been men. And this country, actually, there are more women than men.
One being white.
Women live longer, but again, it certainly should be a little closer than that. I understand women weren't able to vote until relatively recently. But I think by now we should have had two or three female presidents, and we will certainly find another serious female contender in 2020. Whether or not she wins, we shall find out. And that's all part of the fun.
Yeah, may I interject here that there's some people already saying Hillary Clinton would decide to run again, and I wrote Scott Spears about that because he said he thinks it could happen. And the question is that really going to happen? How would that affect the race if she even just announces? I don't think she'd be the candidate, but I think if she announces, it would really muddy up the waters.
It would certainly add a wrinkle or two, wouldn't it? And we shall
find out. Or Jerry Brown, who's supposedly he's leaving the California governorship, is 80 years old, will be 82. There's rumors that he might announce for a fourth time for president after 76, 80, and 92. Not that he would win, but the thought, we could have like five octogenarians in the next term, meaning they reach 80 in the next term, who could be running, or at least announcing. And that would be Brown and John Kerry and also Biden and also Sanders and also Michael Bloomberg. All would be over 80 during the next term. Five octogenarians, and at least three of them probably will run. I think Bloomberg, Biden, and Sanders, but maybe not Kerry and Brown, but there's talk that Brown might decide he has nothing else better to do, that he'll announce. So that could be quite a race in itself, the octogenarians against the young.
Why doesn't Jimmy Carter just run again? He can be president again.
he's in his 90s.
That would not surprise me, Ron. He's very healthy. He appears to have beaten or
he probably would survive a full 4-year term. I bet he would be 100 at the end of it. If he was in office the next term, he'd be 100 years old a few months before the term ended.
it would not surprise me. I mean, honestly, I think it could happen. It would really be amazing to have something like that.
Can you imagine if he actually ran and won 40 years after he lost? That would be the most unbelievable story in history, you know?
Could he, like, nominate Amy to be his vice president? Can you do that? Is there a nepotism law?
No, you can't have your own family members, no. He could ask Walter Mondale, who's going to be 91 in January, so he could come back after 40 years as well.
Well, that would certainly be different. I mean, who knows? It could happen. Who knows? A Queen of England.
That's really a long shot. I don't think that's going to happen. Yeah. But it is funny, the thought of it, that he would be 100 years old in 2024 during his term if he actually was able to survive and live on and do the job. That would be so funny.
Queen of England is up there, and she still looks pretty good. Who knows?
Yes, she does. She's 93, this year.
So I guess we shall find out. So before we close the show, and once again, it seems like the time has flown. The Middle Eastern situation, Ron, which we know is very, very serious and very dangerous. What's your latest perspective on that?
Well, I do not think we should continue to back the idea of Solomon being the heir to the throne. But, you know, I think there's a real chance the king is very old, probably doesn't even know what's going on all the time. I get the feeling he doesn't know what happened because he had nothing to do with it. But I have a feeling we might hear that, and it may be true that the king dies because he's old, but how do we know that Mohammed bin Salman wouldn't arrange for his quiet death so he becomes the king of Saudi Arabia and the one who controls Mecca and Medina? It's very scary because I think the man is a real threat to world peace. And I think really, you know, I think he could be a person that could really be more of a nightmare long run than Kim Jong-un, of who's around the same age. I really think it's a problem. But I'm afraid we're going to have a president who's going to, you know, wipe his slate clean and not care about what happened with Khashoggi.
It just seems like there are these foreign policy decisions, and we have a president with no foreign policy experience, pointing to the fact that you really should have that before you take the Oval Office. And we talked about Eisenhower. He was a general. Well, he was in the military, and he had the highest office you can have, general. So that essentially was foreign policy experience. Now, it's not the same as being president, but at least he was exposed to it. And Trump wasn't. and we're seeing the unfortunate consequences. So we'll find out. Every day is a new adventure. Speaking of foreign policy, Ron, and again, I may be behind the times here. Has Trump picked a replacement for Nikki Haley? I guess we talked about possibly picking his daughter, which wouldn't be good. And probably
no, that's out.
Even
that's
be
not
legal.
Even allowed, by the way. There's rumors, but nothing definite. I don't think he's going to pick anyone until after the midterm elections, which only today on Monday. It's just 15 days to go from today is the midterms, and it's so significant because it's going to really have an effect on the 2020 race and on the future of the world right now, that we need some kind of a check and balance on our president. I hope we get it.
Isn't UN ambassador kind of an important position, though, especially with the current state of the world? Shouldn't he kind of pick somebody ASAP?
He should, but look, he hasn't appointed ambassadors to many countries, including Saudi Arabia. There's no ambassador to Saudi Arabia. He has filled only half the positions that he should be filling. So he seems to think if you have fewer positions filled, the government runs better. But actually, that's not true. But he has really been destroying the whole federal bureaucracy, the top leadership, by not appointing many people in many positions. And that's not good. And yet that's what he's getting away with, and the Republican Congress is allowing that. And that's why we really need a check and balance. The Democrats need to win the House and hopefully win the Senate, although I doubt they will, and win more governorships, because that will affect gerrymandering in the future and also reapportionment of seats after the 2020 census. So it's really a crucial election, and everybody needs to get out there and vote.
Oh, speaking of Jerry and not appointing somebody in an important position, of course, someone we talk about regularly, the pipe smoker himself, Jerry Ford, didn't he have a large part of his presidency without a vice president, and that Rockefeller didn't really want the job, but he kind of took it anyway? I was kind of young then, but as I recall, that was the situation.
Well, he appointed Rockefeller, which was a bold move because Rockefeller was controversial for the conservatives, but he was a qualified person who could have been president. But it was only a couple of months till he got – 4 months, I think, until the appointment was confirmed by the House and Senate. But actually, Rockefeller was, for his time, the most active vice president since Nixon under Eisenhower, more than Johnson under Kennedy or Humphrey under Johnson or Agnew under Nixon. He actually, you know, was fairly active, but he didn't want to, I think, you know, I don't think he really wanted to run again, although he would have. But then, of course, Ford picked Bob Dole because the Reagan Republicans said, after the two attempted assassinations of Ford in September 75, which scared them to death, that we do not want Rockefeller in the line of succession. So he was there for 2 years and a month, and he was active within limits, although the conservatives didn't like it. But the point is that he was replaced by Dole, and of course, I think if Ford had kept Rockefeller, he probably would have beaten Jimmy Carter in Ohio. I really think he would have.
Yeah, I remember my mom telling me, just referring to him as Rocky, that's kind of what he went by, that he didn't really want to...
Well, that's what he was known in the newspapers.
Yeah, didn't really want
the
job, but I guess he felt it was kind of his duty to serve.
Well, but he also knew that when Ford had two attempts, for the moment he might have thought, oh my God, am I really going to be president now? Because he would have been if the two attempted assassinations in September 75 had worked out. So he was awfully close to the possibility of becoming president.
If we can get this in like 30 seconds that are left over, do you think, and I would actually agree with this, Ron, do you think there should be a requirement that the president have first a vice president and have every cabinet position as well as ambassador to all nations in place before he or she even sits down in the Oval Office? Isn't I was wondering about that with Ford. It's like, don't you have to have a vice president? There's so many people out there that want the job. Nixon had no problem picking Ford to succeed Agnew. I mean, if Rocky didn't want the job, find someone who did. Do we need to have a law about that, or can we leave it up to the president's discretion?
Well, let me first say Ford had George H.W. Bush on his short list to be the replacement if Rockefeller didn't want it. He did think of Bush, interestingly. I think, honestly, that presidential candidates should have to announce their cabinet members before the election. And I think if they did that, that would be part of the judgment on whether a person should be elected. We should know who the top people are around him if he wins. But that's not the system we have. It's always after you're elected.
Right. I would agree, except, of course, your competitor, Hillary Clinton, as an example, could end up being an office holder, but at least have people in place who've confirmed that they will take the job. But I would tend to agree. I think we need to have these positions filled, and there is certainly a succession for who becomes president if something happens to the president. But kind of need to have a VP, and that whole thing with Ford, especially after the two assassination attempts. was a bit jittery. So, you know, Ford.
Well, the only thing is, at least we have the 25th Amendment, which allows for appointment of a vice president if its position is vacant. Before, we had many years, about 40 years of our history, we had no vice president because they could not be replaced if they died or succeeded to the presidency.
And on that note, we will have to bid you a fair adieu. Like, once again, time flies.
It's all over. My gosh, the time flies.
Hopefully, yes. We have tickled a brain cell or two, maybe invited some controversy, but that's okay. That's part of what we do here on Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam and the Professor. Dr. Ron Fineman, thank you again for joining us on this fine Monday. Have a great rest of your day there in Florida, and we will talk to you again, probably.
Yes, I had a great time. Thank you very much.
Have a great day. We'll probably talk to you again next week, and ta-ta for now.